We started last week in Nativ HaTmimut in the Ma'aral. It was really, really great to see, even though we went off course on some rant about something totally unrelated, which is fine. But the idea is that the Tamim is not looking for external realization or gratification or reassurance. He looks internally. And we start off with a Mishle saying, "Ki yasharim yishkenu aretz v'tamimim yaturu ba." The tamimim and the yasharim, they're living in the land. They're not trying to grow on top of that. They're not trying to manipulate the land. They're not trying to get an edge. They're not trying to create a reality where they're being more successful. They're just trying to be themselves, right? And the difference, and then we talked about the difference between yashar and tamim, is that the tamim, the yashar, thinks about it and then goes forward simply, and the tamim, he doesn't even think about it. He just like seems like, okay. Right now, Rabbi Nachman has a beautiful story called the Chacham V'Tam, the sophisticated and the simpleton. And he really contrasts the two of them, how the sophisticated is always trying to get ahead, and he's never satisfied. He's always trying to go forward. And the Tamim always says, like, I'm just going to do what I feel is right for me. And if people play a trick on me, then the trick's on them. Because who plays a trick on a simpleton? Right? Meaning, you're going to play a trick on me, but I'm not playing the game, so eventually you're going to lose. Because you're not winning, and for you, the only way to win is to win. Right? Like when my brother, he played against, my brother played on Beitar Yerushalayim youth team, and then he said they didn't have Derech Eretz, he couldn't play with them, he felt that it was really not good for his neshama. So him and his best friend, who they were like the best players on the team, they quit the team, and they started their own team, their fan-based team, and they were undefeated. And they got to the finals against this Beitar Yerushalayim team, and they just didn't show up. They sent a note saying, "Oh, we didn't play for the winning." And Beitar Yerushalayim team like wrote a whole letter back, like, "How dare you, disgrace!" Like, and then my brother said, like, all they wanted to do was win, and we didn't give them that.
Right.
Like, they were so frustrated because like their whole thing was they were gonna beat us,
right,
and we weren't in there for winning. And now they won. They won because we forfeited the game. They were the champions,
right.
But they didn't win, so they lost. Right? That's like the sophisticated. He's never satisfied because there's always somebody out there who is better than me, right? Who has more, who I haven't beaten yet, who I haven't risen to the top yet, who doesn't, right? It's like when you meet like somebody who's so egotistical and you don't know who they are. And I love doing this, like when I go and meet all these like big rabbis, and like they're like, and people tell me like, "Oh, go talk to him. This is Rabbi so and so." And I say to them, I'm like,
"Hi,
who's no, first I'm like, one. I'm like, who's no, I'm like, who's that?" And they're like, "You don't know who this rabbi is?" I'm like, "No, like, did he write the Shulchan Aruch?" "No." I'm like, "Okay." So I'm not really sure. Like, you're like, okay, he's a big rabbi and a big, like, and that's fine. But like, it's not always like my stature is based on if people know me or if I get the recognition, because I am not trying to satisfy other people. I'm really just trying to satisfy myself, and whatever feels right for me, then I'm going to do it, right? Now, again, there's a balance between receiving rebuke and people telling you what to do and taking it without face value. But living in a world where the contrast to the Tamimim are the Rishayim, right? And the Bogdim. And the Bogdim is going back to the close, right? Which is always the external. I don't want to let you in. I don't want you to see who I really am. It's always sleight of hand, right? The Rasha is always just trying to shake up reality so there's a crack in the fabric that he can exploit, that he can use, that he can now manipulate. And they're the opposite, right? And the Tamimim, it's very much like depicted by the Rasha and the Tam, the Yaakov and Esav. When Esav says to Yaakov, "I don't need your gift. I have a lot." And what is Yaakov's response?
"I have everything.
I have all I need." Right? It's not that I have more.
Right.
"I have all I need. I don't need this. You can have it. You have a lot? Great. So you have a lot plus. Right? I already have everything that I need. I don't need anything." Yeah.
I hate to interrupt, but I thought this was relevant. There's this phrase that this guy who I like follow, like this internet guy that I follow, he says this thing that I like to say to myself a lot to like kind of keeps me in check. He says, "Don't let the situation dictate the situation." Now, on face value, firsthand, instinctually, you would think, oh, dictate the situation, that is representative of what you're just saying we should try to avoid, which is that you shouldn't always be trying to dictate the situation and control all the factors possible. You should rather let the thing go take its course. But I can't remember if he interprets his own phrase this way or if I heard it somewhere else or it's just my own personal interpretation. But like, when you, part of the idea of like minimalism is, which we've talked about here before, is kind of cutting all the strings that you have that you're, that make you dependent on other things. And so the way I take that, the way I try to synthesize the two concepts is by saying like, you not letting the situation dictate your behavior is like, read that as, I'm not going to let other things determine how I feel. I'm independent because I'm smaller. I'm smaller. I'm just a dot in the realm of everything around me. And so therefore, if I see myself as, you know, trying to control everything, then if the situation calls for me to be upset, if somebody else does something that upsets me, then I'm going to get upset, I'm going to get triggered, all these things. But if you see yourself as controlling the situation, how do you control the situation? You become as small as possible.
Right,
so you don't...
But is the word really controlling?
Wait, I want... Right, so to answer that, and to just answer that, but I want to get back into the Maharal,
mm-hmm.
because I don't think this is, I think this, I think definitely this is related, but I definitely want
to
see what
so
he's saying.
Has to do with the
right,
control.
But when it comes back to it, meaning... Very little is in our control in our life. Very little. Very little. Whatever grade you get, that's not very much in your control. There's a curve. How well you're going to sleep at night, that's not up to you. How full you'll feel from the food, that's not up to you. The only thing that is 100% in your control are your reactions. That's the only thing that you control, so much so that you are your reactions. And you can't marry a girl until you have pushed all her buttons and see how she reacts. Now, there are certain things that are going to come up in life that you never know how you're going to react to. That's fine. But there are indications in certain ways that you need to know. People are their reactions, the way they're going to react, right? And Rafi says all the time. You say something and he goes, oh, I knew you were going to say it. I knew you were going to react that way, right? Right? Or Noah will send me a text and then go, don't answer that. I know what you're going to say. You already can read it, and even though you didn't text it. You are your reactions. You become who you are. So not letting you dictate this, not letting the situation dictate your life means don't be reactive,
proactive. Exactly.
Right? So instead of being a reactive person, and Esav is that reactive person, he's hungry, he sees food, he wants it, he's reacting to the food. He guzzles it down. Yaakov stole something from him, he reacts to that. Where Yaakov is more, he's proactive. He's going to be proactive about making the food, about working for Lavan and creating that situation. Instead of trying to constantly be reactive, he's trying to be proactive, and that's what the Maharal is saying. We're on the fourth paragraph down. Ki dvarim shel atzmo hu noheg betmimut. The tam, the simple person, he does his things simply. He's not looking for external gratification. Hayin davashu magia el atzmo. Whatever regards to him, he does in the most simple way, right? Right. Meaning, you don't see the simple person who's making himself gourmet food, then decorating it in the most gourmet way, right? And then sitting in front of his table and going, ah, a feast. The simple person makes himself food that he likes, that's delicious. He doesn't really care how it looks because he's not posting it for Instagram. Now, if he is, then he's not a tam, right? Then he can't enjoy the food he's eating because 7 minutes passed and no one reacted to his post. So he's going to refresh his browser 500 times because there must be something wrong with Verizon. Mm-hmm. But regarding other people, things that have to do with other people's lives, you can be a tam there, right? You can say, when I say I'm hungry, can I come over to my house for Shabbos, and I'm going to give you challah and hummus. And you say, okay, I'm good. Well, you know, if I was going to eat by myself, I was going to eat challah and hummus. So I thought, let's eat challah and hummus together. Well, okay, but that's not fair because that's not your tamimus, right? At least I could ask you to bring your challah and hummus that you are going to eat by yourself in your apartment, right? Like, there's got to be something. That's where the yashar comes into play. Tamim is when it comes to me, yashar is when it comes to you, right? So if it comes to me, then I don't have to think about it. I just do it. I open the fridge and I make food. But if I'm making food for dinner, for me and for my wife, then I have to say, okay, What is she going to want? And then drowning it in oil probably won't help, right? Or every time I make pizza, my wife says, can you also remember that your kids are going to want to eat from it? So can you please wait to put the spices on? And I'm like, oh, that's good thinking, right? Because at the end of the day, now I have to be thoughtful. And that's what the Yashar, he says, Yashar, the difference of the Yashar, mitzat zichlo v'chochmato mitbonen l'asot ha'yashar. He's thinking what would be the most right way to do this, that I'm not trying to manipulate, I'm not trying to make food that then, you know, I will get rewarded for. But if I'm ready making food, and there are two people in the apartment, I might as well, if I know my roommate doesn't like cheese, let me make the pasta plain, and then separate some for my plate, and then add, right? Like, you know, when I make salad dressing, so I like some vegetables in my salad dressing soup, right? It's a very kedai. Now, my wife, she does not like salad dressing soup with some vegetables. She actually likes salad with a drizzle of salad dressing. So I make a big, big salad, and I make salad dressing, and then I put it into my bowl, and I put, you know, drench the salad dressing in my soup.
You put your lettuce into the soup.
Right, just the lettuce was there first. And then my wife says, is the salad dressed? That's her way of saying, like, am I going to like this? And I say, no, I left the salad dressing on the side. She goes, oh, thank you, right? That's being yashar. Now, when I'm tamim, I don't care. I just do whatever seems, you know, that I need. Umikom makom shtei hamidot kasher hu eino sar min hayashar veharaui. Aichad mitzad atzmo v'tzimuto. The two pathways that when I'm regarding to myself, I am complete and I am whole and I am doing what works for me. V'asheni mitzad zichlo hu bocher hayashar. And the other one is when I'm working with other people, then I am trying to think about what is going to work for them. Right? While the Rasha and the Bogeid is trying to manipulate them, trying to hook them, right? I'm trying to bait them, right? Here, I'm not trying to bait anybody. I'm trying to do what works for me, but because there's not only me in my little cosmic bubble, I have to think about other people, right? So, you know, this campus, like many other places should be, is a smoke-free campus. Why? Because although you decided to smoke, and I can do whatever the heck you want because it's a free country, what about other people that are standing in front of you or next to you or behind you, right? And there's a problem, right? When I was on the plane from Amman, Jordan to Uman, and I asked the guy behind me on the plane, from Amman to Uman, I asked the guy behind me to stop smoking. So he said...
It's a free country.
No. He said, he said, Ze mafri alecha, tafsik linsham.
Whoa.
If it's bothering you, stop breathing, right? Don't breathe. Well, how can you tell me that I need to stop doing what I want
to
do?
That leads me to my question. Because, how do you decide?
Right?
Who decides when and where? Like, who decides? Like, there. Let's say the 50.
So now, wait. So he has his reactions. He decided to tell me, then die, right? Now my question is, how do I react to him?
Right.
I could throw the cigarette out of his thing. I could tell the police, the flight attendant that he's smoking on the plane. I can.
Is that a 40 and flip?
Which one?
The flight attendant being called the police?
Well, in Achinami, it's just the different going to the whoever's in charge and telling them that he's breaking the rules. Or I could just say, you know what? Stay there. Let me take breathing, you know, as an important thing right now, right? I can ask to move. I can do this. I can do that. Or I could ask because you feel bad for this person, right? Yeah. I could really say, like, I feel so bad for a person that he needs to smoke so much that his answer to a person who's literally asking him to stop smoking is like, die, right? Okay, say there. That's a different story. But when you're living in a world of Rishayim and Bogdim, then the Rishayim, you're kartu a Bogdim, right? They're going to be cut off. Because if you're trying to constantly manipulate things, then you know what's going to happen? At the end of the day, you have less and less and less hold on reality.
Right.
And then you're all by yourself. You're all by yourself. Right? But if you're tamim, you're complete, you're shalem, then yishchenu aretz. That's mimim yotruba. They will stay there even after everybody's left because they've never stepped on one foot in order to get a better look. They've always stayed grounded because they were never trying to gather more and conquer more and be in control. Rather, they're trying to. They are measuring their own success, right? And a lot of times, especially in education, it's a very frustrating job to be in, because when you're in investment banking, it's very easy to see if you're successful or not. If you're start in computer science, it's very easy. You have a year of sales and marketing, and it's good. Now in education, is the answer the grade, the GPA of the students? Is the answer how much they can reply back what you said? Is it how much you've affected their lives? None of these are right parameters. You don't know if something you're going to say is going to affect somebody's life in 20 years from now. You never know when it's going to affect your life, right? I gave a class when I taught in seminary. I gave a class called Living a Stress-Free Life. Rabbi Nachman's three-step philosophy to living a stress-free life. And I gave that class, and all the girls, I could tell you later, and all the girls were like, ah, chippy-chappy, like, this is fun, this is cute, Rabbi Nachman's cute. And then I, like 2 years later when they were in college, I got, like, texts being like, oh my God, do I need that class again? Like, oh my God, like, this is, like, when I finally understand. Like, now I understand, like, why, like, being Shomer Shabbos is, like, my number one priority. Right? Like, but back then, okay, take Shabbos seriously. Okay, I take Shabbos seriously. Yeah? I'm trying to get the best chavaya I can. And let me go to the most exotic place in Israel for Shabbos and eat goat cheese, you know, from the goat. Shabbos. It's a different story. The tamim is living in a world where it's not about multitude. It's not about I have a lot, because that's in contrast to. A lot is always in contrast to. Right? My daughter always tells me how big she is in contrast to everything else. Right? Stay there. But Yaakov's not living in that world. Yaakov is the tam because he is kol. And that's why the yamim achadim, that's why he can be engaged to his wife for 7 years. And it's like nothing. Because it's not about a lot or a little. It's about all, seeing that you have all. Right? So therefore,
what do you mean?
Instead of being reactive to the fact that you have to wait 7 years to marry her and see that as a long time, right? When I tell my daughter, 5 minutes and we have to go to bed, she said, 5 minutes, that's so short. And I say to her, do you want a chocolate? She says, yes. I said, in 5 minutes. 5 minutes, that's in such a long time, right? That time is reactive. And the answer is, what kind of world do you live in? Are you living on each side? Are you Esav, Mr. Hunter? Are you trying to conquer and get things and have things and accumulate? And therefore you have a lot? Or do you live in a world of Yishli Kol? Not reacting to, it doesn't matter how long it takes, she's my wife. I don't want to be there, I'm here. I'm not living in a life where I'm trying to constantly create more boundaries so I feel more protected. Rather, I live in a world where I'm trying to connect. And the tamim, when it comes to his life, he just does what works. And when it comes to other people in his life, then he does what's yeshar. What's yeshar? Huh? What is right by other people? So says the Maharal, Ve'amar ki yesharim. Those who are yesharim, yishchenu aretz, said Mishle. Klomar, sheyesh lo hakiyum. He has existence.
There's also an aspect of like doing the right thing despite what other people say. So yes, it has to do with like how you are perceived by other people, but also if everybody else is saying to do something immoral, then it's important to also do the right thing for yourself.
For sure.
I'm not saying that you're not saying.
There's Nativ HaYosher. We could talk about the Yashar and what does that mean to do right. What is right, right? What is right? What is wrong? But right now, we're just talking about, that's the idea. Klamar sheyesh lo kiyum. He has an existence. V'zeu yishchenu aretz. Ki ha'aretz yesh la ha'kiyum beyoter mikol ha'yesodot. Diktiv ha'aretz olam ha'medet. Earth is going to be here for a long, 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 long time. Right? The sun is going to implode in about 100 billion years. But Earth, because of its carbon, is going to be here for a long time. It's going to take a long, 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 long time for the outer crust to push down into the hot lava that's in the inside and create an eruption that will implode this Earth into millions of particles along the universe. But the sun, the Earth is going to be here for a long time. Vegetation is going to be gone, it's going to come and go, and clouds and stars are going to come and go, but the earth is going to be for a long time, and a person who's yashar, then he's dwelling in the land. Yesodah, fire moves, ruach moves, water moves, land doesn't move. It's already settled. Therefore, the land has a lot more than all the other, qualities and facets. ומפני כך יש שינוי על כל היסודות, והארץ אין לה תנועה, לכן אין בה שינוי. וזהו כי הכתוב אומר, הארץ לא עומדת. So the people who are straight and straightforward, they're not moving as much. When you move, you're burning energy. You're becoming lessened, right? But something that is solid, it's going to be here for much longer.
That is... Right?
What? Say.
No, I was just going to say, it's jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is like, there's so much philosophy in like all these martial arts, but jiu-jitsu is, the art of jiu-jitsu is letting the other person burn out before you burn out, which is a very philosophical
Which topic. Is what Baal Shem Tov said about the battle with the Yetzer Hara.
Right.
All right? It's like a boxing match. It doesn't matter who gives more punches, it just matter who gives the last.
Right.
That's it. So that's the idea. The idea is that if you are yashar, you're not constantly moving and manipulating other things, you're not constantly leaving your comfort zone and burning more energies to get ahead, then you will be here longer. You will be here longer, right? So, ועוד יש דבר בארץ שמורה על נצחיות מפני שהארץ עומד באמצע, כמו נקודה בעיגול, ואינו יוצא לשום קצה, ואל מקום, ומי שאין לו קצה מצד המקום, אין לו קצה ותכלית. גם כן, אל הווייתו. לכן הארץ היא עומדת באמצע, ואין לה קצת מצד הקיום, ואין לה קצה גם כן מצד הווייתה. So not only does it not move, but it's not linear. Fire goes up. Wind moves from whatever, east to west. Water, moves in whatever regard. And ground doesn't move. And because it doesn't move, it doesn't have a beginning and end, it's just a dot, then it's not going to end. So the yashar, the person who's yashar, he's not using energy to become curvy, right? He's just straight. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line, right? And that's the idea. So the person who's yashar is not just a person who is straightforward. He's a person who's not bending over. He's not lying. He's being straightforward. This is who I am. This is who I'm not. Right? And therefore, you know what you get. But a person who's not straightforward, a person who's trying to tell you what you want to hear, or a person who's saying in order to impress, then he's using up energy to not be straight. And therefore, he's not going to get to the top point quickly and efficiently because he's using energy to become swirly and swervy. So the land, the eretz, the beauty of the land, of being like, of lishkon eretz, is that you're not coming to a place where you're tested. You're just being yourself. You're being straight. And the tamim and the yashar, they're open and vulnerable and honest. That's why after HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram to do a bris milah, he says, "Etalech lefanai, veheye tamim." Right? God tells Avram, "Etalech lefanai veheye tamim." Go before me and be tamim. Because the brit, the vulnerability of being revealed and being open and not concealing with foreskin, not hiding what is underneath, allows me to be tamim. And if I can be tamim, then I can go forward. Right? Only a person who's tamim can actually walk before God. Because how can you walk before God if you're not tamim? If you're not tamim and you're walking before God, you know what you're doing? You're trying to lead God somewhere. You have an agenda, you have a narrative, and you're trying to pull God to that narrative. Well, it's only in your mind that you're pulling God in that narrative. That's a avodah zarah. The only way you could ever walk before God, as if you never have an agenda of what you're trying to push. You're just trying to understand what God wants. You're just trying to explore God. You're not going anywhere. You're not being anything. You're being you. So the person who's tamim can walk before God. But it's only that tamim of vulnerability, because Noach is an ish tzadik tamim. But Noach is what? Et ha'elokim italech Noach. Noach walks with God. But the tamim of vulnerability, of the brit, of the covenant, of I'm not only am I being simple, I'm also yashar. I'm also thinking about others and conducting my life in a way that I am now vulnerable in sexual conduct, and I'm not I'm coming from a place of conquering and manipulating and controlling, then I can walk before God. So Avram, who's tadik vet tadik tamim, Avram who's italech lefanai ve'yeh tamim, he can walk before God. Right?
Before as in front of?
What?
Before as in front of?
Yeah.
Okay.
Talech lefanai, right, lead the way. Right. Chazal say, like the king who has a servant with a flashlight walking ahead, so the horse knows where to go, right? Like leading the way for God. But you can only let somebody who you really trust walk in front of you. Someone you know who's not manipulating anything. Okay. That's why even though Chazal say that the Eved of Avram, who Avram sent to find a wife for Yitzchak, was Eliezer, doesn't say who he is because he did not see himself as himself, but as just as an Eved of Avram. And the whole time he just called Eved Avram. Just the Eved. Just the totally annulling himself. Talech lefanai v'yeh tamim. That's why also when Avram tells the Eved to go find a wife for Yitzchak, he says, hold my brit. Right? That's like, seems really weird.
Right?
Yeah, Chazal say, he held his brit milah. Like, that sounds like a little weird. But only if you understand that that is the potentiality that allows you to be simple. That allows you to not manipulate the situation. That allows you to not try to get any other reaction than the one that is owed to you. I can't be frustrated that I did X and I got the exact response. I can't, you know, they say in American culture, you get what you pay for. You can't pay $1.99 and then be upset that you're in the bathroom for $1.99. That's just the reality of the food that you bought. So the avoda of life, and then tiva tamimut, is to really reach a level where you're like the ground existence. You're like the ground, you're like the floor. You're not trying to manipulate things. I don't care that they're stepping on me, says the floor, because joke's on them, soon they'll be under me. That's it.
You're humble.
I'm not looking to get anything that doesn't belong to me. The minute I'm trying to manipulate reality, then the joke is really on me. Because all I am doing is I'm making my life shorter. That's why in Judaism, if you're not trying to manipulate reality, you have arichus yamim, you have a long life, long days, because you're not trying to go anywhere. You're just trying to be here. So the tamim.
Wait, question?
Yeah.
Sorry. Isn't one of the things for arichus yamim sending away the mother bird?
Yeah.
Isn't that like a very conquering-esque behavior? Like, show otherwise you can take something?
No, because you can take it anyway. That's the whole idea. You can she can't stop you. You're so strong. But you know what you will do if you do it in front of her eyes? You're going to make her feel so irrelevant. You're going to take away her dignity. She's going to say, what's the point? I'm so tiny and useless anyway. You're just manipulating. You're just forcing your strength.
This way, at least you're doing it in kind.
Right. But that's the whole idea of Chazal saying, ki yikare ken sipor lefanecha, ki yikare. If you stumble upon, wait, don't we not believe in Mikra? Isn't that a Malik's whole thing of like Mikra? Ah, well, let me tell you something very important about shooing away a mother bird. If you're going there on purpose to manipulate that, wrong, Habibi, sorry. You're not allowed to take birds, chicks or eggs from a bird nest that you know that's there. It's only if it came to you that now you have that opportunity. Ki kare ken tzipor lefanecha. Right? And that's the big idea of this whole reality. Is we don't see it as random, we see it as yakar, valuable, unique, and important. So if I'm trying to manipulate the situation and I'm going to where there's a nest and I'm gonna push the bird away, then that's not shilochkin. Then you took eggs. That's fine. You didn't do shilochkin. Shilochkin is only ki kare ken tzipor lefanecha. If it happens to be that you were on your way and you met this came into your domain, then you have an opportunity to do something profound. It's like you can't do kibud av v'aim to anybody but your parents. You can't choose your parents. By chance, they're your parents. By chance, you're their child. Really? Carrie? By chance? Or is it yakar? Valuable. Unique. You only exist because of these two parents. Can you really, and the time where you were so tiny and didn't have any self-worth, they took care of you, can you do that for them when they're old? When in a way that doesn't dehumanize them, in a way that gives them dignity? Can you take care of your parents when they're old in a way that gives them the sense of it's worthy of living so old? Then you'll get arichus yamim. Then you'll also want to live old. But if not, then why would you want to be old if your parents are such a burden on you? Let me just die before I lose my sense of dignity. So the bird's dignity, your parents' dignity, or it's going to give you arichus yamim, because you're not trying to gain anything, you're not trying to manipulate anything, you're just reacting to the world the way you are, it's evolving in front of you. You're trying to give things a sense of purpose and dignity, and therefore you're going to get arichus yamim. Right? Are you conquering, or are you owning? Different, totally different reality. Am I owning the responsibility of my parents, or am I trying to conquer my parents by you know, doing what they need and getting it out of my way? He says, "Vayashar ki eno noteh lakatzeh mipnei kach yesharim yishkinu aretz klamar sheyeh lahem akiyum hanitzchi ki kach ra'ui lahem sherhem yesharim v'tmimim." This is the Maharalian like constant idea. Ki hu ra'ui lahem, like this is destined to you. This is, we are worthy of this. Kach ra'ui lahem asher hem yesharim v'tmimim. It's worthy. It belongs to them. It belongs to them, this eternal existence. Ki einam yotzim el shum katzeh, rak nisharim b'tmimut, v'einam yotzim b'tchila min ha'tmimut, gam ken. Because they're not trying to not be them. They're just trying to be them. They're not trying to go outside of what is their personality and responsibility. And when they're doing that, then they're living forever because they're eternal. But once you are manipulating situation, then you're being manipulated yourself. Because now you're no longer you. You're a version of you, and you've cut off multiple versions of who you can become. And therefore now, there's just less life for you to live because there's less you that you can be because you're so stuck on who you decided you are and how you're going to make your life a certain way. Hem yaturu ba ki midatam shehem nisharim betmimut ve'enam yotzim chutz kach yu nisharim ba'aretz ve'hu makom ha'emtzai she'eno yotze chutz ve'af im yavo poranut la'olam hem yisharu ve'pershenu ze'gam ken betchilat masechet avot ve'gam ken b'makom acher ve'shtei elu midot she'yu b'yakov tam ve'yishurun garam le'yakov le'yamut. That's why it says Yaakov never died. Yaakov's living forever because he lived all the potential life that he could. So now all the potential life that he could are being lived by his kids. So he's still there. Because he didn't try to become a certain narrative and he didn't narrow his life into one narrative. He's expansive. And he's constantly being part of the world. And not trying to go outside of himself. And losing thanks, many different facets of who he can be. So the Tamim is a person who's constantly experiencing himself anew and not trying to create a certain situation that works or doesn't work for him. So, Shabbat Shalom.